Moncrief on News Talk.
You know when someone parks across two spots or parks so close to your car you have to wriggle your way into it? Is it because they're not taught properly, or were you all just inconsiderate? We're joined by the motoring journalist Geraldine Herbert. Afternoon, Geraldine.
Good afternoon, Sean. I'm laughing to myself. I'm thinking, God, are they inconsiderate? Do they not know how to do it? I really don't know the answer.
When we're going back to lessons, are people taught how to park?
Not really, to be honest. It's funny because when I tweeted out that I was going on the show, somebody said to me, is parallel parking part of the test? No, it's not. But then I don't think parallel parking is that much required, but an actual, you know, reverse parking into a bay definitely is. Well, it certainly was part of the test when I was doing it. And I think that probably is, you know, a thing that you need more. But I mean, you know, I don't know how much time is spent when people are doing lessons, really, you know, actually learning how to park. I'd say instructors are more, you know, kind of intent on getting them on the road and getting them moving from A to B. So it probably gets put by the wayside. And it's kind of one of these things you kind of learn, you know, with experience. But obviously, some people don't get very good at it.
Yeah. Now, to a certain extent, only to a certain extent, could the layout of car parks be to blame? Because I don't know, I don't have a big fat car. I don't drive a Range Rover. But sometimes you go into a car park and it seems like they've made the slots narrower than other car parks you go into.
Yeah, I think the problem is parking older car parks. So car parks where the parking spaces were designed decades ago just cannot keep up with the size of cars now. So cars were slimmer and shorter. Even two decades has made a big difference. Like the modern Mini has gained about 20 centimetres in two decades. Now, you'll notice that if you go into a parking space, or the Volkswagen Polo is now the size of the original Volkswagen Golf. So they were two separate, you know, different types of cars, and yet one is now the size of the other. So definitely you will notice that. So, I mean, you know, if you're struggling to get into a car space now, it's because probably the car is bigger and the space hasn't changed. So I think that is an issue. But then there are problems with people. You know, there are a lot of people out there, Sean, that just aren't very good at parking. And then you do get the people who just couldn't care less. You know, they park too close, they straddle lines, they block access, and they don't give a damn. So, I mean, you know, put the three together and you've got, you know, no wonder it's stressful trying to find a space.
Yeah. And now a lot of people, and I don't know if it's so nervous about parking or whatever the reason, but say a lot of people they won't back into a parking spot. They'll go in front face, which makes it a bit more dangerous when they're coming out.
That's something I can never understand, because there's a bit of a knack to reversing into a car space. But once you get used to it, you will never drive into a car space again, because it's actually easier. When space is tight, it is actually easier to reverse in. And yet you see people who just try and defy the laws of physics, and they're squeezing their car in sideways into a space. And I've often sat in my car and thought, oh, Lord God, I'm glad I'm not parked beside them. Or you come back and you find those. But even if somebody parks really badly beside you, if you're reversed in, it's an awful lot easier to get out. And as you say, it's a lot safer, because you're, you know, otherwise you're reversing out and there could be cars coming, there could be kids behind you, whatever. It's an awful lot easier reversing into a space and a lot safer. So it's a habit. If you're, you know, if you're starting out, you know, driving, try and form that habit and stick to it.
Yeah, I suppose it could be that, you know, if in a car park and there's cars behind you, you're kind of holding them up while you're reversing in, and then the pressure's on because they're all looking at you, judging you're reversing, and then you might make a mistake, and then you might have to do it again. And so it's probably easier to just kind of swoop in as quickly as you can.
Yeah, just sidling. Yeah, I think it is the stress of finding that spot. Then you find the spot. Then it is the, you know, the drivers behind you, and then the threat of having a dent or, as you say, doing something wrong. So, yeah, I mean, it all does sort of combine to make things. But I suppose the knack is try and find a quiet spot of the car park if you can, or go to quieter car parks. Learn and become a competent car parker, and then you'll be able to cope with the stress, because trying to learn and deal with the stress, you know, that's too much at the same time. But if you can't, then I don't know, like there are people that I often, depending on what I'm driving, I might park miles away from other people. You'd still come back and find two people parked beside you, and you think, there were spaces everywhere. Why did you have to park beside me? You know, so I don't know, the psychology of parking is beyond me.
Is that, you know, that cars have sensors now?
Yes.
Do you think that, and cameras, is that a help or a hindrance, do you think, in that it takes away the kind of basic skill? You're relying on a camera to tell you how to park a car.
It's funny, I remember talking to somebody who was working in a car hire company, and they had a Nissan Primera at the time on the fleet, and they were one of the first cars to have reversing cameras. And they found there were more people coming back with dents in the back of their car with these reversing cameras than normal. So I don't know what people were doing, whether they were over-relying on them or they thought, no, you know, that doesn't relate to my car, and they were just doing their usual parking. But definitely it makes life easier. But I find from driving different cars that sometimes the sensors are oversensitive and other times they're undersensitive. So it's always hard to know, because sometimes they're beeping wildly and you realize, you know, you're miles from the wall, and other times they let you go right up to the wall and then they beep. So it depends on the car, but definitely they have to be a help. And a reversing camera is brilliant. I mean, there really is no excuse for bad parking with a reversing camera, but we do need to trust the technology.
Yeah, actually, yeah, the beeping, you're right about the beeping, because, you know, like, yeah, my car like beeps if I'm a mile away from another car, yeah. and then I kind of don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah, well, I've done that, you see, and then I found cars that actually only beep when you're right at the wall, and you think, oh, right, I'm like literally millimetres away from the wall. So it depends on the car. But I mean, the other thing as well is more and more cars now just actually park themselves. So, you know, the future of parking is not needing the skill to park and just relying on the car.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of points that... if you're going to do, as someone texts in to say, if you're going to do a big shop, if you reverse into a car park, it might be more difficult to get access to your boot. And also someone says, if you're flat battery, it's very hard jumping a car facing a wall. Well, that's a disaster scenario. But also somebody else makes the point that the bad parking thing, particularly in a car park, if one car parks over the line, then the car that comes in next to them is forced to do the same thing, and there's a knock on, and you might come back to your car and see the car next to you is parked inconsiderately, but actually they had no choice in the matter.
Yeah, that happens. And as I said as well, the other thing is just the sheer size of cars. So sometimes literally, no matter how considerate you're being to the cars on either side, you're squeezed in just because of the width of your car. And you'll find yourself, I mean, I have on occasions squeezed into a space, been really pleased that I got into it, and then realised I can't actually get out of my car. So that does actually happen. That's how narrow some of the car spaces are getting. So that's, you know, what looks like inconsiderate parking is just, look, that's the sheer size of my car and how small the space is.
Yeah. Now, I had a feeling someone was going to text in this, so brace yourself. Women, yes, always drive into a space. Fact. This is obviously science, if you put fact at the end of it. Men mostly reverse into a space. I have a classic car and will intentionally park my car away from everyone else. I will always find one car parked right up beside my car when I return, and it's always a woman who has done it. Why?
Well, I can't speak for all women, so I've no idea, but it does remind
No, he can. He can. He's got a classic car.
And he's obviously always on the road, and he knows this for an absolute fact. But it's interesting, though. Do you remember about 10 years ago, there was a spate of what they were calling pink car spaces or she spots, and city planners in Germany, I think it was China and Korea, were putting in, and they were supposed to help women. So they were bigger than normal spaces. They were painted pink, and they were for women to park in. And Frankfurt Airport in Germany caused a huge problem, because they had these female only spaces, but they also had spaces that were located behind concrete pillars, and they could only be reversed into, and they were male only spaces. So that guy would have loved Germany. He would love Frankfurt Airport.
Though at the same time, the overwhelming reaction people seem to have to this is that other people are inconsiderate. Is it that, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of the fact, though, that most Irish people leave everything to the last minute, right? So we arrive at a car park with about a minute to park, or maybe we should have been wherever we're supposed to be 5 minutes ago. So we literally just dump the car. So that probably makes us much more likely to be careless about the way we park. Added to that, we have these skinny spaces and big cars. So I think the two together just combine to make us all feel that we're just being, you know, abused by other car parkers in the car park or whatever. But I mean, that probably is just the explanation for it, is just careless parking and very narrow spaces.
Geraldine, if you see any classic cars when you're out in your travels, do not park beside them. That man gets very nervous. Geraldine, thanks a million. As ever, that was the motoring journalist, Geraldine Herbert there. Loads of comments on this. Women here who always reverses into a car parking spot. Fact, she says. Good for you. I purposely avoid multi-story car parks and parallel parking. It's a nightmare. You can never see properly. Parking spots are ample, says another text. The problem is inconsiderate, ignorant people. Someone else says it's because people park front way and back way. Much better to pull into a diagonal spot. If you ever spot cars parked in reverse, they stick out too. People stop when the beeper goes off. Yeah, because you're worried you're going to bump into another car. Agree that reversing into a parking space is best, but do drive into a space when doing the big shot to access the boot. That was a comment that was made already. Someone else says, people moan about the reverse around the corner in the test, saying you'd never have to do it, but it's to replicate reversing into a space, which is vital. Reversing into a space, so much easier, to be fair. Just need to wave at car waiting on you and brace it. People parking over the line to stop anyone parking beside their precious Simpson-style Canyonero is a new level of ignorance. And someone says some car parks have double lines between spaces, which helps to improve accuracy by giving a smaller space to simulate for and absorb some errors. Yes, that's true. That's a good point.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.